embark on this vital mission. Email your tips to wpfw.lsb.relocation@gmail.com. And thanks for all you do to nourish and sustain WPFW, building a better world one broadcast at a time.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice. Bye.
Start to turn it around.
If we all could love one another, all the world could be as one. Just take time to love one another, all the world could be as one. Black man, white man, standing together, no more fighting to be done. Yellow, red man, dancing together, all the world could be at one.
And good morning. Welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni. And good morning, Chuck.
Morning, Joni.
Good to hear you. We have an interesting mix today of topics we're going to be talking about. In a few moments, we're going to be giving a big shout out to Dr. Reginald Robinson, and we'll introduce him in a moment. Later, after we talk to Reggie Robinson, we're going to be hearing from an organization dealing with gun violence east of the river with TIA and the Trigger Project. Then towards the second half hour of the show, we're going to be giving a salute and a round of applause to Coy Dunstan, who has operated various health food restaurants throughout the city. And he is leaving his current location in Anacostia. And we're going to talk to him about where he is planning to go. And of course, this is the spring season. We're going through lots of transitions. We just had Easter. Folks are still celebrating and honoring Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. And later in April, we'll be going into Passover for the people from the Jewish community. And of course, as we go through these transitions in spring, we have lots of challenges that we are facing. We want to, and transitions, including transitions of our loved ones, we want to reannounce that the service for our own Dory Ladner is going to be held Saturday, April 13th. That's a week from this coming Saturday at 11 a.m. at Shiloh Baptist Church. So those of you who know, knew, or love Dory are welcome to attend. I also want to announce that we had a recent surprise loss last Thursday. The former general manager of WPFW, Tony Gusters, left us suddenly last week. Tony became the GM at a very, very pivotal moment in PFW's history and Pacifica's history at the turn of the century in the early 21st century. Tony took the reins and really helped to energize the station and did a lot. And he had played a big role in the community as well, was the producer of Teen Summit, many of you may remember. So we will be talking and honoring Tony as the weeks, months, and years move forward. When we know the details for his service, we will share it. And before we jump into talking with Dr. Reggie Robinson, I just want to also mention, of course, the tragedy last Monday, I think it was, in Baltimore with the bridge. And Chuck, I'm sure you've been thinking about this as well. The people who lost their lives were workers, working immigrants from Central America. The two of them were active members with an organization called CASA, which we've had on the radio over the years that supports people from Central America. And Chuck, as we move into the week of April 4th, and we know that sanitation workers were experiencing and still experience horrific conditions in Memphis, Tennessee, where Dr. King was, and that led to his assassination. So these worker safety issues are connected, and we still need to be fighting for safe working conditions for everyone. The end of the month is Workers' Memorial Day, and we'll probably be talking about this issue again as we move into the month. And Chuck and I are thrilled to see Reggie Robinson here on our screen. Listeners, you can't see him with his big, wonderful smile, but we are so proud of Reggie Robinson. I'll give his official introduction. He just received the 2024 American Heart Association Physician of the Year Award. Well deserved. He is past president of the Eastern Board of the American Heart Association, and I know he was also the president of the DC American Heart Association. He specializes in non-invasive cardiology, which means he does his best to be using preventive medicine. He's a graduate from medical school at, of course, Howard University. And he is a member of our WPFW family. Chuck and I wanted to have him on last week as we celebrated our 32nd anniversary. We're so happy he could come on today. He is a supporter of WPFW. He's a listener. He is also a member, an active member of Union Temple Baptist Church. And he is my physician when I need to see somebody related to my heart, as well as Chuck's. So welcome, Reggie, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Joni. How are you? Is it coming out okay?
Yes, we hear you fine. And I'll try to call you Dr. Robinson, but I know I'm very thankful to know Reggie for quite a while. And he is truly a wonderful physician. And maybe in the few minutes, and hopefully we can schedule you for a longer time sometime this spring. But and also, it was the 100 Black Men of Greater Washington that sent out their official congratulations to Reggie. So we support them. Reggie, as we often talk about, heart disease, I believe, is still the number one cause of death for most of us in the country and around the world. But in your few moments that you have with us this morning, what might you like to share
or say? I would say, Joni, I said we can keep talking until they knock on my door and tell me my next patient is available. So,
okay.
So I would say, you know, it takes a community, and as you would always say in our saying, it takes a village to raise any problem or a child. And that's the same thing with healthcare. And when you look at cardiovascular disease as being the leading cause of death in all Americans, in particular people of Black and brown communities, it's not just how you eat. I mean, we like to focus on that, like, oh, you're obese and you have a sedentary lifestyle, but it's much bigger than that. When you start talking about things like social determinants of health, those play a larger impact on overall cardiovascular outcome. And I think we've talked about this before, that your zip code is one of the biggest predictors of how long you live.
Yes.
Your life expectancy. So someone in Southeast DC Ward 8, their life expectancy may be somewhere in the low 80s or high 70s at that, versus Ward 1 in Upper Northwest, closer to high 80s and 90s. And we're in the same city. So what is that? Those are all the factors that are playing a role, like your social determinants, how you eat, live, play, your communities. So if we tell someone that they need to go out and exercise, you're not going to, you know, tell a senior that lives maybe in a certain area that they don't feel comfortable going out and walking because they're scared of crime or violence. You're thinking about blight and, you know, air quality in certain areas. If people are living concentrated within a community and it's not, you know, you have poor air quality, you have mold, you have rats, you have roaches, those things impact your outcome. When you think about educational level, that impacts your job prospects, your access to healthcare down the line. So all of those things are a domino effect that can impact health that we really don't focus on. And I think as we move into the American Heart Association's 100th anniversary this year.
Wow.
You know, you don't see many organizations, for-profit or not-for-profit, that last 100 years. So as an organization like the Heart Association celebrating 100 years, that's impactful. They have at their core health equity and social determinants of health so that people can live longer and healthier lives.
Absolutely. And perhaps as when is that celebration going to be this year? Do you know?
It'll be in June. It will be the actual 100th anniversary. But they've started already just rolling out things to acknowledge that.
Okay.
And actually, what people may not know, that the Heart Association was started by a social worker.
Wow.
A woman who saw that cardiovascular care over 100 years ago was lacking. That's when people had heart attacks, you told them to stay in bed. Now you have a heart attack or congestive heart failure, we want to put you in cardiac rehab, because it's known that people that participate in exercise and activity after a heart attack or heart failure do much better than those who don't. And that's another area where, you know, that zip code plays a role, because many of our folks may not get cardiac rehab referrals or rehab after a stroke, which directly impacts how well you do and how you recover.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, as we've said many times, the life expectancy rate of people in east of the river in Ward 8, and this particularly Black men, I think it's a last time I checked, I think it was 69 years old. So it's significantly Black people in Ward 8 pass and leave us a lot many years before people in Ward 3. So it's an ongoing issue. And of course, we have an increase in maternal mortality in D.C. as well. And Reggie, perhaps as we move into June, maybe we could talk about some kind of collaboration, a special program on WPFW, of course, with Dr. Watkins. And because heart disease is something we really need to be spending more time talking to people about.
Absolutely. So, you mentioned infant mortality, and there's an area, something called preeclampsia, that most people don't really know or talk about. That's hypertension during pregnancy and right after pregnancy. And you see that at a high proportion in African-American women, and it directly impacts fetal mortality, or death, meaning death of the newborn or the baby in utero, and the mother with poor outcomes. So you have to be extremely aggressive when you see a young woman that's pregnant and they have elevated blood pressure. You can't just kick that can down the road. Same thing with gestational diabetes. Also impacts us at a higher percentage and have poor outcomes on lower birth weight for infants and poor outcomes for that baby when they're delivered. So preeclampsia and infant mortality are a huge area that are that impact our society. And I will get you in touch with Roxana Hoveda from the local Heart Association to try to set something up.
Okay, great. And of course, May is also Mother's Day, so I'm sure we'll be doing a show. And Reggie, Dr. Robinson, I'm sorry to say we scheduled you for 5 minutes.
You can go longer if you like, Jody.
No, yeah. But I'm sorry. We had to schedule our next guest. So
okay.
I should have known better, but we have another guest who you would be interested in meeting, Tia, who is working on youth violence issues in Anacostia and has a very important event coming up on Friday. So, unfortunately,
Thursday.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about too much at once. So,
April
Reggie.
Fools.
Yes, it's April Fool's Day. So, Reggie, next time I'll make sure we won't schedule other guests whenever you're on.
All right, Joni. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
Yes, likewise. And we'll talk again soon. Absolutely. Reggie Robinson, who just got the 2024 American Heart Association Physician of the Year Award. And now we're welcoming in someone else who also has gotten national attention for the wonderful work that she does. And I'd like to introduce Tia Bell with the Trigger Project. And I'm going to ask Tia to explain what Trigger is and also, of course, talk about the very important event this Thursday night, April 4th. So welcome to you.
Hey, sweet Joni, and hey, Village. Congratulations, Dr. Reggie. That is an honor, and I am blessed to be following you. And Joni, you keep us on our toes. So thank you for building our awareness and education.
Well, we are, and I'd like to introduce you to Reggie Robinson sometime soon.
Absolutely. Hopefully, mm-hmm. he can make it on Thursday. Shameless plug. But speaking
well,
of.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of education and awareness, I am the founder of the Trigger Project, and we are a grassroots organization on the ground, but also on the national stage, preventing youth gun violence through the intersectionality of public health and positive youth development. And Trigger, I would be remiss if I didn't say what it stands for. It is an acronym of empathy. That stands for True Reasons I Grabbed the Gun Evolved from Risk.
And just real quick, Tia, tell us what motivated you to form Trigger and what year did it start approximately?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this Thursday is April 4th, and it's no coincidence that we are doing our huge experience on this day. First and foremost, it's the heavenly birthday of my late uncle, Doug, who passed away when I was just 17. And his birthday, his heartbeat started on April 4th, 1985. And so he will be 39 this year, and we're paying homage to my angel. But also, we are just coming up for air to really help find new ways and opportunities to build funding and funding structures for gun violence prevention. Sweet Joni, you know, with your public health background, that we use public health to treat gun violence more of in a lip service way,
right,
than in its true fidelity. And so just looking at heart disease, just like he was saying, we are more prone as Black people to heart disease because of our adverse childhood experiences, the same thing mm-hmm. with gun violence. And so if we don't treat the conditions, treat the root causes appropriately, and in infancy stages, when mothers are pregnant, if we don't try to get to this problem beforehand proactively, then unfortunately we will continue to see the epidemic of youth violence rise in our city. And so go ahead.
And I do want to say the good news is there are quite a number of outstanding youth organizations that are really addressing youth violence, including yours. But in addition, there's a new organization called Cruise, and we'll be having them on soon, I'm sure. If you listen to Roach Brown's show tomorrow at 10 a.m., he will be giving some updates from Cruise. But your organization, Trigger, Tia, is also outstanding, and you're being very modest. Tell us about the national award you got several years ago.
Oh, which one was this?
well, whichever one you want to mention.
Was it with Amnesty International? Was it? I'm not even sure which
okay.
one you're referring to. Help me.
Okay, well, you got several national awards. I know you were on billboards, and it might have been with Amnesty International.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so yes, I was a part of the first cohort of superheroes, gun violence prevention superheroes, and some people may have seen a yellow poster up around the city with me flexing my muscles like a superwoman. Under the campaign of Amnesty International, who just fights, you know, for the basic human right of life. And that was incredible to be a part of. A lot of opportunity and optimism does come with working in the prevention space, again, working with before the trigger is pulled. But again, the reality is that we're very reactive. And so 4-4 is an experience we're holding on Thursday to honor my uncle's heartbeat, to explain or sort of show people the journey of how Trigger became who and where we are today. We started as 4 youth because I played at NC State. I was the first in my family. That's a big buzzword right now, by the way, because we're looking really good in the NCAA tournament and in March Madness. But I went to NC State, graduated from H.D. Woodson, being the first in my family to finish high school and go to college. And I wore number 4 in honor of my uncle that I had lost right before I went to college. And the crazy thing in retrospect was my mother was a victim of gun violence when I was 10, and she survived. And because of me choosing and almost being forced into autonomy and almost a co-parenting role, I didn't really get to grieve or even feel the real impact of what that meant, you know? And so when my uncle died, I think all of the grief of losing her friends, my friends, almost losing her and then him, you know, sort of hit me. So wearing number 4 on ESPN in the ACC, I was raising gun violence awareness back then. But when I moved home in 2016, after getting my master's in youth development, people couldn't comprehend youth development disrupting gun violence. And so now Trigger is just for youth, you know, with a public health approach. And we want people to understand that story. And then we want to fundraise for the future, because right now, again, we really operate in reaction. We have to Uber youth who are afraid to step 10 feet outside of their home because they lost their sibling right there, or they lost friends right there. And they want to go to school, but they can't. They're unsafe, you know, in their communities on public transportation. We have to help our families clean out rooms because we're losing youngins. You know, we're losing our babies. And so we want to just stop and pause and get out of crisis mode and honor our past, celebrate our future. There'll be 3 youth entrepreneurs, all under Trigger University, who have started their own businesses and nonprofits. They'll be there to sell their merchandise and uplift their visions. And so we're going to celebrate that as the present. And then we're going to, you know, bring hope and optimism towards the future. So we have a special guest from Kaiser Permanente's Gun Violence Prevention Department. We have Vernon Davis, the Super Bowl champion, our neighborhood hero, who actually witnessed gun violence a lot and was exposed to it a lot, of course. But he saw his uncle shoot his stepfather, and he talks about that in his book. So we'll have a mini author talk. Yeah, man, we'll have a mini author talk. And we'll just show people that the possibility of prevention. That's the true intent of Thursday.
Absolutely. And of course, what you said reminded me of Marvin Gaye, who's, of course, his dad shot him, and Marvin Gaye's family from Washington, D.C. We'll repeat it probably again, but tell us where this is going to be Thursday, Tia, and when, and the time.
Yes. So Thursday, April 4th, it's the 4-4 experience. It'll be at Anacostia Arts Center. We have to say a huge shout out to them for giving us the space, the safe and brave space. And we'll be on Marion Barry Avenue, who also is our lifelong mayor, but he was a victim of gun violence, you know. So we all are exposed to this disease that spreads through model behavior. We just want to bring true awareness. And so on Thursday, April 4th, from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll start with a social hour, and people will be able to see the evolution of Trigger just through some artifacts. You know, I started a bingo sheet 7 years ago to raise awareness about gun violence risk factors. And so that'll be there from when youngins were playing Trigger bingo with us. And, you know, we'll have pictures of my uncle and pictures before my mom was exposed to gun violence. And it'll just be that evolution experience, sort of an exhibit. And our babies will be the tour guides, if you will. And then from 7 to 8 p.m., we go into the black box, and people will see a small documentary of what, again, how we became. Because Tia is so synonymous with Trigger, but there were so many people that have contributed and still contribute and believe in us. And so we want to pay homage to them. And then we're going to celebrate a little bit with some music, because music is often criminalized, like a lot of things. And that's when you take the health out of public emergency. And so We always sort of play on that, you know, duality, because it is a healing outlet and tool. It is a utensil of prevention. And then again, we go into Vernon and shouting out Mr. Mustafa with the DC Digital Collective and how he's trying to economically mobilize us and how that represents prevention. So I just gave everybody, because of Sweet Joni, who's listening, all the secrets for Thursday. But please, if you will, feel free to come. You can go to our website, www.thetriggerproject.org, to register, or you can just pop up. We want to, you know, open our arms, open our space, again, to the possibility and the impacts of gun violence prevention.
Absolutely. And Tia, we are so proud of you. Some listeners may remember last year we had Tia on for quite a bit, and we were promoting, I think it was June 2nd at Freedom Plaza. Trigger and Tia organized a magnificent youth violence prevention event. There were hundreds, probably thousands of people there, a lot of people and a lot of youth leading discussions. It was extremely inspiring. So, and we broadcasted on WPFW. We broadcast probably about half a day on the air. So some of you may remember Tia from back then. And we're going to be talking with you soon, Tia, because we have an idea for Heal DC. We want to help feature more young people, not just on the air, but perhaps at community forums, et cetera. Because it's very positive for the youth to tell their stories, but it's also positive for adults, including adults who are not maybe exposed to gun violence, to hear the stories directly from the young people. And
Absolutely.
So we're very proud you're doing that, Tia, and we're very proud of you. Definitely a shining star in our community. Tia Bell. And Tia, one more time, is this Thursday, April 4th. Tell us the time and the address again.
Yes, 6 to 8 p.m. And the address is 1231 Marion Barry Avenue, Southeast. It's the Anacostia Arts Museum. I'm sorry, Center. I keep wanting to give it a museum. And what's so profound is that Trigger started in the basement at Hive 2.0, the business office space. So we were bringing over 20 babies in there right before the pandemic, asking what could Trigger stand for? You know, what could it stand for? And so this is, again, just homage and a day of hope. So Thursday, April 4th, the 4-4 experience with the Trigger Project from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Anacostia Arts Center.
Thank you, Tia, and I'll see you there.
Thank you, Joni. I can't wait to hug you, and I can't wait to uplift our babies, because giving them, you know, I'm 6'4", you know, I wrap my long arms around you every time, but I was seen, you know, I was seen growing up, I was revered, I was protected, and that's all our young people deserve today, and so thank you for always being a catalyst. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And thank you, Tia.
June 7th is the Gun Violence in Gun Violence Citywide Festival and Conference this year. We don't have a location, but you can go to our website. It's Gun Violence Awareness Day. And you can go to our website to register for that event as well. So I love
And we definitely
love everybody. And I love you.
I love you too, Tia. Okay, we're going to keep on jumping here. And if we could be physically jumping, it'd be good for our health. But this is also good for our spirit. We're going to be spending the next segment of the show talking about food, healthy food in Anacostia and east of the river. We're going to be spending quite a bit of time in a few moments, or about 20 minutes, with Coy Dunstan, who is the founder of Secrets of Nature, which has recently just moved away from the Anacostia spot that he's been in. We're going to be talking to Coy in a minute, but I wanted to welcome on the air for another announcement, an event coming up. Brother Khan, who is an activist I've met recently at these wonderful meetings of Cruise, but he's having a special event on Friday, So Tia's event is Thursday. This is going to be at the Anacostia Library on Friday. So welcome, Brother Khan. Are you unmuted? Let's see.
Thank you so much. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine now. Okay. So welcome, Brother Khan, tell us maybe one sentence about yourself, and then tell us what you're going to be doing on Friday at the Anacostia Library.
Thank you. I'm a writer, I'm an activist, and I'm a peer recovery coach. I feel deeply for the people of color in the DMV area. And the topic of the discussions on Friday at the Anacostia Library is food apartheid and food insecurity in DMV area. What can be done? The situation is quite pathetic because Washington, D.C. has the highest rate of seniors who suffer from food insecurity. In the neighboring Prince George's County, where I live, half of the population has food insecurity. And you see this tendency of having armed guards at grocery stores, these kind of stuff. I hope all the experts, the real people, the real passionate food justice advocates, I have tried to contact all of them. I don't know them. I have not met them personally, but I contacted them.
Yes, we'll try. And of course, this is an issue we've talked about on this show for decades. And we hope to help you bring some of the activists out there. That is this Friday at what time at Anacostia Library?
It is at 3 p.m. So this is open mic for Anacostia. It happens every first Friday of the month, 3 p.m. at the moment at the Anacostia Library.
Absolutely. So folks who are familiar with the issues firsthand.
1800 Berrien Avenue, Southeast. It used to be called 1800 Good Hope Road.
Yeah, so that's 1800 Marion Barry Avenue, 3 o'clock on Friday in Anacostia, the Anacostia Library, open mic. And this is a very important issue, as we know. So listeners are welcome to come and help spread the word. Not only the so-called experts, but the people themselves who have trouble getting decent food to eat, not only unhealthy food that's very available, of course.
Exactly. We want to listen from the people, because this is all about the people. And the thing is, the people have been kept on the back burner in the D.C. politics, in the D.C. Mm-hmm. area for a long time.
As well as in the whole United States, we have very bad statistics when it comes to health. And one of the reasons is the lack of healthy food available to people. And Brother Khan, I'm going to ask you to hang in here with us, because our next guest for the rest of the hour is somebody that you know. You've eaten his wonderful food.
I will miss him sorely.
Let me just say, you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is To Heal DC with Joni and Chuck. And we'll hopefully Chuck can jump in this next segment. We're going to be spending the rest of the hour pretty much talking to someone who I believe is a hero in our community, another hero, and that is Coy Dunstan. And Coy's been around for a long time. I'm going to ask him to share his story, but I first met Coy at least maybe 15 years ago or more with our own Brother Bay, who many of you remember used to co-host this show and worked with Coy for many, many years. And Coy's place where he's been now, Secrets of Nature, is moving. But before we get into that, I want to welcome Coy on. Welcome, Coy Dunstan.
Well, good morning, Joni, and to your audience. It's good to be with you again. It's been a while since I've been able to get out and speak to you and hug you, but I'm a little free now, so let's see what we can do.
Yes. And I want you to share with the listeners who may not know your story. I've heard it many times. Of course, you're originally from North Carolina. You've been here for quite a while. But you've always shared with me and others how you got interested in healthy food and natural food because of your mom. So maybe share with us how you got into this whole thing of believing in healthy food.
Okay, well, this goes back to 1980. I had just graduated from Antioch Law. And I hope you can hear me, okay?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Antioch Law in 1980, and I went home just to take a break and get my head straight after all the studying I had done. And my mother had just come from the hospital. When I arrived, she was coming in the house from the hospital to say she would just left her doctor's office, and he told her that she needed to go to Duke University as fast as she could. So the next morning, my dad and I got up. We and found that we sit there most of the day thinking about, exactly what was going on. But by the end of the day, the doctors came back and said, well, we think we need to keep her and do some more tests and do this and that. And the next day or so, they told us that she had cancer of the liver, of the breast, and of the colon. So we kind of adjusted to that. They worked with her about a week or so, maybe 3 weeks. And then up came this ultimatum to take chemotherapy or get out of the hospital. So my mother asked me, what would I do if I was hurt? I say, well, I don't know many people that have taken chemotherapy and survived it. So I would just probably make up my mind just to pack up my stuff and we'll go home and we'll figure out what to do from there. So she took my advice and off to the house we went. And after we got home, you know, we had to go through this wanting to live or wanting to die. We didn't know which way she wanted to go. She didn't know which way she wanted to go. But we started working with her. We started giving her some good food. I think honey was one of the first ones we used. And we started fasting. We started praying. And I had just joined a company called Nature Sunshine, and they came out with a product called Pardaco. And this Pardaco is reputed to be emptying the cancer wards in Mexico. So we got hands on that, and we started using that, and she kept getting better and better. She go to back to the doctor, and they say, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And after about 6 months, they say she was cancer-free, and she got up and started moving around with it, went back into the pulpit and started speaking to people. But it was just it was a life changing for me because I came back and settled down in D.C. and I opened up my first health food store, Yours Naturally, at 1014 14th Street in 1981. Mm-hmm. And I was about 89, I guess. And then we opened up another one on the Washington Post building at 16th and L. And we had a store out in Mount Rainier. They had one out in Capitol Heights. Ran up for about a year or so. And then they kind of just fell apart, no financing and trying to do everything by yourself. That was working out of your pocket, that kind of thing. And it was just too much. So we closed them all down. And I moved to Southeast, 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest Washington, D.C. in 1990. And I was there for about 35 years.
Mm.
Like you say, I just recently shut it down. Yesterday was my last day there. And we're still in the process of moving and trying to decide what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. But we do have the ability to do food still. We just have to get it up and get it going. Hopefully we can have that in the next week or so.
Yes, and I just want to say to listeners who may not know Coy Johnston, Coy is a treasure in our community. And many people have been over the years to Secrets of Nature and go there regularly. And so part of what we're doing today is really to give Coy a shout out. and a big round of applause for what he's been doing over the years, and to talk about how we as a community can support him moving forward. And in a moment, we're going to be joined by Damian Bascom, who's going to help us. But as Coy said, he just left that facility after being there for 35 years. And on the phone with us, Brother Khan was telling me about his favorite dish of Coy. Coy is a fabulous cook. We've used him for many different events over the years. And of course, he worked closely with Brother Bay. Brother Khan, I don't know if you want to jump in and say your favorite dish that you've had with Coy, as you told me. But if not, Coy, we want to wish you well as you just left there. And I know a lot of people were helping you to move. We also want to encourage people to support Coy. And we're going to talk in a moment how people can do that. But Coy, tell us what some of your possibilities are for moving. That's one question. And another question is, if you were the mayor or if you were in charge of this city, what would you do to better support people who have restaurants, who are preparing and serving healthy food? What kind of support in a better world should the city be giving you, so you don't have to worry about so much about all those bills that come down? But
yeah, well, first of all, they could set aside space just for that. Since we have such a problem with preventive diseases in this town, there should be space set aside where people can just go and just learn about how to take care of themselves and what they should eat and how they should eat. There should be a place set aside for that. If you want to do something about preventable diseases, you got to make space for it. And the city haven't really done it. And then we got to support it in a way that people can make a living. I mean, you get up and go to work every day. You want to get your money. You want to be able to grow. You want to be able to buy if you want to in this city. And the city should help us go through that process also to elevate us to a place to where we can not have to do everything. And again, we could do volunteer programs where people can come in and learn and assist in working in the business so that they can pass it on to their families and, spread it in the community. That's the idea. We all got to do this. But so many times we don't have the options to do that or even to get exposed to what we should eat. Most of the things that we see is corner stores that sell sugar, basically.
That's right. And salt.
Yeah. And sugar and salt. And that's the first drug, sugar. And it just it proliferates into something else like crime, and abuse, and all the other things we suffer with in the community. Alcoholism. But alcohol is probably the number one sugar drug. And we just need to do more education of what's going on with us and why we are in the shape we're in, what we can do about it. And I think if I was mayor, I would make arrangements to do that.
Absolutely. And it certainly should be a number one, a top priority if we care about people living healthy lives in this city and the country. I wish we had time for people to call in. We might have a few moments, 202-588-0893. We're going to be sure to tell listeners how you can keep in touch with Coy. But Chuck, if you had a question, you could jump in and ask. But let me also give out, and we'll give this out again. Coy has, among other things, he has a mailing list that you can get on. SecretsOfNatureHealthFood.com. SecretsOfNatureHealthFood.com. And I would recommend that people who care about healthy food and living healthier lives keep in touch with Coy as he's in transition looking for a new space. SecretsOfNatureHealthFood.com. And I believe we're going to also mention GoFundMe effort that he's doing. But Coy, maybe tell us some of the options that you're considering. I guess many of us would hope that you can stay in Anacostia in Ward 8.
That would be nice. But some of the options are looking at space at Skyland, some of these other just built complexes they're putting up around in terms of trying to find space in some of those places where a lot of my customers live. Hopefully this week we should have word on how that's going and get some idea of how long that would take. But that's going to take more effort and more resources than we have presently to make a move to another, top rate location, I'll call it in terms of a better place where you can come in and enjoy yourself and not have to look over your shoulder or worry about who will come in the door. But we want to create a better place for everybody to come and enjoy themselves without having to worry about what's outside or what's coming in, whether or not whoever's coming in. But that would be my future plan, to keep doing that and bring that to fruition. And I would feel like that would be my life's mission. I could go sit down, do what I want to do then.
Yes, absolutely. And I see Damien is joined us. We only have a few minutes left. And there are going to be other activities in the community that you can go to support Coy. I think the best way to keep in touch with him is through the email. There are two callers. Let's see if we can squeeze them in real quick. We only have 4 minutes left. Caller or Damien, welcome. You want to say something real quick?
Yeah. Greetings, Baba Coy. No, and I think this is a great segue to speak to the fact of the legacy that Baba Coy has established here over 35 years being in Southeast, being something that's very central. We want to bring these callers on, but I want to urge the audience to, and Baba Coy, we can speak to this vision. I just came off a call with BCI Incubator, and we want to look at the potential of developing a cooperative, a cooperative, a business structure that can build on this legacy. And I think it'll be beautiful with Baba's Coy's wisdom and insight to train individual herbalists and healers in our community.
And chefs, and as well as and chefs. And we'll have to come. Chefs, yes. And Damien, we'll have to come back to this. We'll have to come back to this because we're almost out of time. Let's see if we can get out the callers. Caller, jump in and say your name and real quick your question or comment.
Hi, this is Brigitte. Just want to thank you, Joni and Coy and Damien. This is an awesome conversation. I know there will be more to come, and I'm excited about it. And I actually just wanted to hear from Coy a little more about what have been the offerings, the secrets of nature, and what difference he's seen it make for individuals.
That's a great question, Brigitte.
Well, quickly, I can say that when I moved in Southeast in 1980, it was the murder capital of the world, not the U.S., the world. It was taking bodies out two or three a day. And over time, it began to subside a little bit. We still have a little flare-ups, but it's nothing like it was when I moved there. So I feel like I had something to do with making it a little bit better. And that would be my most notable, I think, event that I've participated in by being in Southeast. And it's been a great time to see the changes. And right now, it's probably about as calm as it's ever been over there since they got this drug-free zone.
Yes.
It has made quite a difference, and it's very peaceful now. And so if you got business in that area, don't hesitate to go and tell the police that you appreciate what they're doing and keep it up.
Well, that's another discussion. But in addition, Coy is being also very modest, and Brigitte asked a very good question, because I've certainly witnessed, and I can remember back with Brother Bay, I can remember all the people coming into Secrets of Nature that were able to access really healthy food. And there you could see the folks back there in the kitchen preparing the food and all kinds of other products that were right there. So he's been a star in our community for sure. Let's see if we can get the last caller in. Caller, jump in and say your name and your question or comment.
This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany. And I just want to say I'm a hometown boy from Washington, D.C. I'm familiar with Coy. I have never really truly lived vegetarian life for more than 2 years, but I'm familiar with his establishment. And I just want to say, after working in food service, I know how expensive it is in Washington, D.C. to run any kind of restaurant. And I want to say thank you. And if you can do it again, please do.
I appreciate thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick, calling from Germany. And I got a lot of texts and messages also saluting Coy. Coy is, again, he is a treasure in our community. This is a salute to him, our cheers to him. And Damien, thanks for joining us. And I know you're going to be helping out to make sure that we continue to support Coy with different possibilities moving forward into the future. And we also want to wish Damien luck, as he's going to be away for a month getting some special yoga training. And we look forward for him coming back. But Coy, well, before we go to your final word, I'm just going to say I picked out, Coy asked me to play a little bit of Marvin Gaye. And I was thinking, of course, Marvin Gaye's birthday is tomorrow. Gil Scott-Heron's birthday is today. Tracy Chapman's birthday was Saturday. But we picked Marvin Gaye. And in a moment, you're going to hear a little bit of a positive song of Marvin Gaye. Gotta Give It Up, because really we want to celebrate. This is a celebration of Coy's decades of commitment to this community, providing healthy food. He can be very modest, but again, I've known him for decades, and he's a treasure. Coy, your final statement before we go.
Well, I would say that hopefully this is not the end for me or what I do. And if anyone that wants to participate or keep up with me, just to go to my webpage, secretsofnaturehealthfood.com. Most everything will, access to everything will be on the website, fund me page, everything else, the emails and all that will be on that site. And events that are coming up, we'll post them on that site so people will know. Or on Facebook or wherever we post them, we'll let you know on the website. We'll move from there to maybe hopefully another better place that we can celebrate and have an occasion to come out and celebrate all that we've all done. I appreciate you all. I couldn't have done it without you. And I hope that you all can, we can all get together and celebrate at some point in the future before we all leave here.
Absolutely, we do. And Damien, I'm sure you can help too. That have to have a celebration as Coy moves into his next spot out in the community. And of course, Coy is also going to be continuing to cook and prepare food. He's going to have a kitchen somewhere where he can do that. So again, you can be in touch with him, secretsofnaturehealthfood.com. And we wish everybody well. Again, April 4th is the day that Dr. King was killed. And as we think about that this week, and Chuck and I may bring the sanitation workers on again, but we need to think about the people's lives lost in Baltimore. We need to remember and lift up the need for working people to have safer working conditions, because it was unsafe conditions that killed those young man from Central America last Monday. So, Chuck, you want to say anything real quick? And then we're going to move into this tribute song to Brother Coy.
Support our speakers. It's important that we stay healthy, eat healthy, and support each other. Thank you.
And thank you, Chuck. And okay, and stay tuned and go come out, some of you, to the special event this Wednesday. But here's a song to celebrate Coy Dunstan and Secrets of Nature. Marvin Gaye.
Greetings, family. The WPFW Programmers Association, in harmony with station management, presents WPFW Live, a series of events over the next 6 months in partnership with some of your favorite local venues. The goal is to re-engage the community through a remembering of the valued relationships forged, all pointing to a reimagination of our future. Our first WPFW Live event will be held Wednesday, April 3rd, 5 to 9 p.m. at 18th Street Lounge, 1230 9th Street Northwest. Meet some of your favorite local programmers, enjoy great music, and partake in good spirits. Music by DJ Rasan, Music Relief Radio, Kamal Harris, Beats, Bars, and Bangers, and featuring DJ Divine, Soulful House Sessions. Food by Chef Jarobi of Flavorful Influences. Tickets are $20 and available at Eventbrite by searching WPFW Live. For details, call 202-618-2110. WPFW, changing the world one live event at a time.
Search process for WPFW's next general manager is underway. Successful management searches begin by having conversations with stakeholders to clarify and document expectations for future management. Therefore, WPFW's local station board is inviting all stakeholders to participate in our online survey. Go to WPFWFM.org and press the link to complete the survey. The survey closes April 3rd, 2024. Only one survey per person. Thank you.